KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have light snow and blowing snow. We look for snow showers this morning. Areas of blowing snow through late this afternoon. A high around 24. Winter weather advisory in effect for Cass and area counties until late this afternoon. And that's in effect until 3 o'clock. Also, there is a winter weather advisory until 9 a.m. today for Monona, Harrison, Shelby, Pottawatomie, Mills, Montgomery, and Fremont and Page counties. And after 9 a.m., a wind advisory will kick in for those same counties until 5 o'clock. Also, Sac, Crawford, and Carroll counties still under a blizzard warning for today. And our news is brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Again, the latest cancellation into this KJAN studios just a few minutes ago. Atlantic Community Schools have canceled classes for today. Again, no school in Atlantic. And you can find the complete list on our list of cancellations page on KJAN.com. In the news, police in Creston report three arrests took place last Friday. 54-year-old Clifford Mark Williams of Creston was arrested for OWI first offense. Williams was being held at the Greater Regional Medical Center in Creston. 41-year-old Carrie Ann Johns of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for OWI, interference with official acts. Johns was being held without bond in the Ringgold County Jail. And 18-year-old Emily Nicole Stultz of Creston was also arrested Friday for violating a no-contact order. Stultz was being held without bond in the Ringgold County Jail. Creston police said also a resident in the 300 block of Oak Street reported Friday that his vehicle was vandalized while parked at his apartment complex parking lot. The incident, which happened sometime between 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. Friday, resulted in a loss of about $250. And we have a couple of preschools that have also called just within the past few minutes to let us know they will not be holding their preschool. Little Lambs Preschool here in Atlantic and Atlantic Head Start have canceled classes for today, or canceled services for today, as the case may be. A Sioux City police officer is recovering after being wounded by a suspect who also shot and wounded himself before his arrest. The Sioux City Journal reports the incident happened Saturday morning when officers were following up on a number of reported robberies and burglaries. While at an apartment, an 18-year-old man shot and wounded a 13-year veteran of the police force. The man also hurt himself. The wounded officer was treated at a local hospital and released. The 18-year-old suspect remained in custody. He hadn't yet appeared in court to be formally charged, so he doesn't have a lawyer yet representing him. The last time a Sioux City officer was shot and wounded in the line of duty was October of 2014. A team of specialists in Sioux City has helped to save an F-100 fighter jet from the airplane graveyard, and it will soon be on display at the Air National Guard headquarters in Maryland. Colonel Larry Christensen is commander of the 185th Air Refueling Wing, where a paint shop specializes in refinishing some of the nation's most distinguished combat aircraft, the F-15s, F-16s, and the A-10 tank killer.
We're over 600 airplanes right now, and once you add up the savings on each one of them, that gets to be a huge savings for the country.
Dave Miller manages the paint shop and a team of 13 corrosion control specialists.
Aircraft will come through our facility, and they will get sanded, primed, and repainted. The whole purpose is to keep the corrosion at a minimum or non-existent, and that way it keeps the aircraft structural integrity intact and always mission ready.
Wing Commander Christensen said the unit has saved more than $50 million through efficiency.
It's cheaper because we've been doing it a long time. We've figured out quite a few things that, to speed the process along. Get it painted, get it back to where it needs to be, flying missions.
A surprise project arrived in Sioux City last June, a legendary F-100 Super Sabre jet fighter, which was the first Air Force fighter to break the sound barrier. It was rescued from the Arizona desert where she was retired in 1977. What's more, this particular two-seater with tail number 880 was based in Sioux City back in the 1960s and 70s. For one Iowan in particular, preserving number 880 was sentimental. Former Major Norman Shep of Sioux Center was the last man at the controls of the 880 on its final flight to the aircraft boneyard, just as new aviation technology was being introduced.
All the airplanes today now, they're smart. You go and punch the button and they're smart. But the F-100, it wasn't. It was dumb. It couldn't think for itself. You have to fly it.
Iowa Air Guard pilots flew the Super Sabre in the Vietnam War, where they helped to establish or locate the enemy and interrupt supply lines. The restoration of number 880 is now finished and spectacular, wearing a new coat of multicolored camouflage. Its final mission will be atop a pedestal for a display at Andrews Air Force Base outside of Washington. Elsewhere in the news, Governor Branstad's plan to change how state sales tax money is used, shifting it from education to include water quality projects, is drawing criticism from the president of the Iowa Farmers Union. Janet Linderman says her organization supports new funding for water quality, but it shouldn't be tied to money that would otherwise benefit schools. Linderman says a better proposal would fund water quality projects from multiple sources.
There needs to be a much more serious effort put toward water quality monitoring and targeting the practices on a watershed level, and I haven't heard any of that out of the governor's office. And I feel like this is maybe just a way to deflect some attention away from the negative publicity they've been getting from the Waterworks lawsuit as opposed to a serious legislative proposal.
She's referring to the Des Moines Waterworks suing three northwest Iowa counties, Calhoun, Buena Vista, and Sac, blaming them for high nitrate levels in the Raccoon River, a primary water source for the capital city. Linderman says the state shouldn't have to choose between funding schools and having clean water.
We live in a state where we have the resources to both provide adequate services for our children and have drinkable, usable water. Those should not be set up as competing interests. Anything we're talking about with water quality, there needs to be serious standards in place. If we're spending any kind of public funding, we need to see that we're getting results for the money that's being spent.
Under his plan, Branstad says schools will get another $10 million a year in addition to paying for water quality projects by extending the 1 cent sales tax to the year 2049. It's currently set to expire in 2029. A woman and two children have been hospitalized after being rescued from a burning mobile home in Cedar Falls. The fire was reported a little before 11:45 p.m. Sunday. Cedar Falls Fire Battalion Chief Kurt Hildebrand said firefighters helped the woman escape through a front window. He says firefighters found a 3-year-old child and a 5-year-old elsewhere in the home and took them out the front door. The women and children's name haven't been released. The fire was contained to the front living room area. The cause remains under investigation. Uncertainty remains over the farm economy and the state's future budget situation, causing Governor Terry Branstad to think over his options. Branstad ordered state worker furloughs and across-the-board cuts in the state budget during the depths of the farm crisis.
But I've learned that's not the way to do things.
So if Iowa's economy craters and the state budget plan is headed toward red ink this fall or next winter, Branstad says he will call lawmakers back to Des Moines for a special legislative session.
And if we really run into financial problems, I'm going to bring the legislature back to address it. Because if they create the problem, they're going to have to address it.
Branstad says this is a tough year financially for the state as tax collections have failed to meet expectations.
This is a challenging time. The stock market started out the year very bad, the worst, I guess, in history, the first month. And then we have the farm situation and the fact that commodity prices are below the cost of production. Hog prices are bad, as well as corn and soybeans. There's reason to be concerned.
And Branstad points to last week's announcement that ADM may try to sell its ethanol plant near Cedar Rapids because of weak profits. In the funeral announcements, Lauren Bodler, age 78, of Greenfield, died Thursday. Funeral services for Lauren Bodler will be today at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Larry Clausen, age 75, of Marcus, died February 2nd. A memorial service for Larry Clausen will be today at 1 o'clock at the Ebenezer Lutheran Church in Audubon. The Ernest Johnson Funeral Home of Marcus is assisting with the arrangements. Ronald Avey, age 74, of Lawrence, Kansas, died February 1st. Funeral services for Ronald Avey will be held today at 2 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Oneida. Melissa Mitzi LaFoy, age 61, of Hamlin, died Friday. Funeral services for Mitzi LaFoy will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Myrtle Otto, age 93, of Manning, died Thursday. Funeral services for Myrtle Otto were to have been held today, but have been postponed to Tuesday at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning is in charge of the arrangements. Betty Jean Campbell, age 88, of Harlan, died February 3rd. Funeral services for Betty Jean Campbell will be Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Richard Dick Wichman, age 72, of Messina, died Friday. Funeral services for Dick Wichman will be Tuesday at 11 o'clock at St. Peter's United Church of Christ, south of Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Howard F. Hansen, age 95, of Audubon and formerly of Exira, died Friday. Funeral services for Howard Hansen will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the Brayton Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Steve Boardman, age 51, of Harlan, died Saturday. Funeral services for Steve Boardman will be held Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Bethel Independent Baptist Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Oakley Ann Weisenborn, the infant daughter of Terry and Jennifer Weisenborn of Exira, died January 26th at Blank Children's Hospital in Des Moines. A private family service for Oakley Weisenborn was held Saturday at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Dean Beeman, age 80, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Adair County Hospital. Funeral services for Dean Beeman are pending at Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Stephen Olson, age 59, of Maxwell and formerly of Elkhorn, died Sunday. Services for Stephen Olson are pending at Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. James Weber, age 81, of Anita, died Sunday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Services for James Weber are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Jerry Spoonauer, age 64, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Jerry Spoonauer will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. And Jenny Lowry Farley, age 93, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Allen Place. Memorial services for Jenny Farley will be held at a later date. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic is handling the arrangements. News was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer. Located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.